Welcome to Urban Wilderness, the official Turkey Mountain podcast. I'm Tip Crowley, and this week Ryan Howell was wrapped up with major announcements of trail enhancements coming soon to Turkey Mountain. But that's okay, because this episode I'm joined by Joel McCourt, Director of Planning and Design at Progressive Trail Design. So join us on Urban Wilderness.
Support for this podcast comes from Fleet Feet Tulsa Broken Arrow, focused on getting people into high-quality, properly fitting footwear, offering training programs that help lead people on their fitness journeys, from 5K to full marathon. For more information, visit fleetfeettulsa.com. And from Fat Tire Bike Shop, offering bikes and accessories for riders of all ages and skill levels, including mountain, road, gravel, and e-bikes. With locations in downtown Tulsa, South Tulsa, Broken Arrow, and Oklahoma City. More information at phattirebikeshop.com.
Progressive Trail Design are best known for their work all across Northwest Arkansas. The Bentonville-based trail builders have worked in the mecca of mountain biking that is their hometown, built new systems in states like Colorado and Texas, and recently expanded internationally, building at a resort in the Caribbean. Needless to say, they know a thing or two about building trails, so their touch at Turkey Mountain is exciting for many of the trail system's users. New trail construction at Turkey will begin in October and will occur over the next few years in multiple phases. Progressive will take on phase one, with later work going to bids in the future. I sat down with Joel McCourt to discuss their plans for the first phase and how they approach enhancing a natural area without taking away the nature. But first, I asked how they take on the complex process of designing a new trail.
So a lot of times it's discovery in the beginning, a lot of listening and then discovery on the site. So the listening piece is talking to the clients, talking to stakeholders, talking to any sort of usage groups that are interested in trail and why they're asking for what they're asking for, as well as listening for the silent cues of why do you need a trail system? Why do you need an update? Maybe we have this piece of property. We don't even know if we can put trail on it. There's, you know, lots of questions that go into that. And so that's one component. And then another piece is once you get on site, really kind of getting lost, going out in the woods, trying to figure out what sort of positive or negative control points. That's just a fancy word for us saying a cool place or not a cool place to go. Could be for, you know, we might want to avoid a place because of drainage, rivers, whatever. But also you might want to go to the same spot. It just depends on, you know, how we're thinking about a property. So essentially, I would say the things that you don't typically see with trail design is us getting lost in the woods and trying to find the great things that haven't been unlocked yet. And there's a lot of reasons that we go in certain areas. Most of it is dictated by topography, but sometimes it's also dictated by soil types or just feasibility or cost constraints sometimes as well. Because, you know, sometimes we can put a trail in something that's mostly earthen, but if we run into bedrock and we don't have a budget for doing kind of a hand cut or jackhammering out trail, then it might be something that would be cost prohibitive at that point.
You mentioned getting feedback from the users and the people who are wanting the trails done. What sort of feedback have you received from the community here in Tulsa regarding Turkey Mountain?
So it's been varying. So some people are very staunch supporters of how Turkey is, and they're very concerned about having something change because they like what's been there because they like kind of the raw feel. They like having something that is seemingly untouched. So that's been some of the concerns we've had to deal with. But we also have, on the other side of that spectrum, we have a lot of people that are really excited. They're excited about, I would say, an updated trail standard. They're excited about being able to have trails that are going to drain properly and are hopefully will be maintained over the years and not require actually as much maintenance because they're draining properly, essentially.
What is the benefit of spending time and money on something like an improved trail system? Obviously, a lot of money across the country is going into outdoor use areas and especially mountain biking. What sort of benefits do you see, and what sort of benefits do the users and the communities see whenever you go in and you design a trail for use and sustainability?
So, great question. I think there's a lot that goes into that, but I would say the thing that we see and the reason behind trail dollars being spent a lot of times, especially for communities that are having their young population, say they move away because they don't have the right amenities, it becomes a kind of a quality of life play. So you're generating significant quality of life and outdoor experiences for your population and for the trail users. And that's not just bike only. I mean, I'm a mountain biker talking about this, but we build trails for all sorts of users, right? And so, we're getting families outside, and that's a huge benefit to people that are considering staying in an area, moving to an area, all of that. But then furthermore, if you have a nice trail system and you have nicely designed infrastructure around it, you're also going to have tourist dollars that come in. And so there's plenty of money that's been proven time and time again that, especially in our area, Northwest Arkansas, but those tourist dollars that come in are significant. And that's something that you can't overlook. But we sometimes in the industry, we call it a brain drain, where you have a smaller community where we want to bring in a trail system so that we can create fun for families and young professionals that make that area a little bit more enticing potentially. And it may not even be just trail. There's a lot of things that go into this, but trying to keep people from moving away. That's sometimes what we see in smaller communities. I would say Tulsa's not necessarily that. I mean, they're already doing so many amazing things. Like, heck, I would move to Tulsa in a heartbeat. It's just an incredible place. So I don't think that's necessarily the reason as much here, but I could definitely see that all over the U.S.
Absolutely. Now, you mentioned where you're from in Northwest Arkansas. One of the big things that Progressive is kind of synonymous with are a lot of the Bentonville trails up there. Obviously, that community has seen a lot of growth and tourism because of their commitment to building new trails and trail maintenance and building a community around that. Living in the area, would you say that a lot of the growth is related to outdoor activities up there recently?
I hesitate to say yes, but that's definitely an impact. For sure. So we have the University of Arkansas, we have Walmart, we have J.B. Hunt, we have a lot of large companies, we have a lot of great companies to work for. We also, the Ozark Mountains where we're putting the trails are just a great experience. So we already had that going right for us. And then we also have community buy-in, which I cannot overstate how much of a big piece that is. So I would definitely say that the growth in the outdoor activities and trails specifically certainly has contributed to the type of people that are moving to the area and the quantity of people that are moving to the area. Now, beyond the trails, I would also say the infrastructure that's being built, the restaurants, the schools, all of the different impact that cycling is having on the community. There's a bit of a ripple effect that I would say it's a lot of things that are happening all at once. And we talk about this with smaller communities a lot. It's like you can't just expect to put in a really wonderful trail system and expect the world to change. But if you start thinking about a trail system and a Nika group within your schools so that you have kids riding bikes and a brewery and these other things that people are interested in, then you're talking about a holistic experience. And Bentonville has been doing that for sure.
So let's talk a little bit more about the specifics at Turkey Mountain. Now, first off, how long have you guys been going out there and thinking about it and planning?
So usually I would say it would probably be a little bit shorter of a time frame, but with COVID, it's been a couple years now. We first engaged when the master plan for the greater Turkey area was being established through the MVVA. And so when they did that, we were brought in as trail experts and we helped them with that. So we helped them with kind of the grand master plan, tweaking their alignments, helping them reconsider how they were thinking about the slopes of the mountain and how their trails were going to be done. And so we've been working on it, I would say, for sure 2 years at this point. But that's a little bit of an inflated number just because, touch and go on that.
Sure. So over those 2 years, you've obviously had a chance to, go experience the space. And I'm sure that you've noticed that Turkey has a huge variety of users. So whenever you go to Bentonville in Northwest Arkansas, a lot of times those trails are specifically bike oriented. Turkey Mountain, you have walkers, runners, beginner mountain bikers, you have advanced mountain bikers, you have people with strollers, people walking their dogs. It's a huge variety of users. How do you accommodate the different users when you're designing those trails?
So some of it's by the type of trail we're building. Some of it is occasionally, we don't like to do this a lot, but occasionally it's separating user types. So we do in our plan have one trail that is going to be foot traffic only. So no wheels, with the exception of, honestly, I wouldn't care if a family's out there and their kids are like on a Strider, like young ones are like on a bike. But anybody who's going to generate any speed on wheels, that's not the trail for them. And think of more of like a grand scale trail that you would have going into like a national park. That's the type of feel we're trying to go for. Not necessarily in massive in scale, but high quality tread, something that has an easy grade that a lot of people want to hike and can withstand that much foot traffic, honestly. And then we're separating those users out a little bit. And so we're highly sensitive to trying to control how people interact, and we're trying to cut down on conflict ultimately. Because even though mountain bikes have brakes, people will still get outside of, you know, their comfort level and be going too fast and inevitably come around a corner. And we're trying to mitigate those sorts of issues. So separating out those user groups occasionally, but then also the width of the trail makes a big difference. If we know there's going to be a lot of people on it, or if it is a low consequence trail for somebody who is very early in their riding, so whether it be young or old, but they're an entry level rider, we'll widen the trail a little bit so that it's a little easier to stay on path. And then the same thing goes for advanced riders. So when we're talking about an expert jump trail, that we're talking serious speeds, so those trails get wider, the landings get bigger. There's a lot of safety components that go into what we're doing, what we're thinking about.
A lot of the Turkey Mountain users are really drawn to the natural feel of it. It's meant to be this space within a city that feels like it is a wilderness. How do you approach changing a natural place like Turkey Mountain into something that's sustainable and, as you mentioned, you know, accommodates all of these different types of users, but still keep a natural feel to it? How do you approach that?
We go out on site, just like I mentioned earlier, and we see what the site looks like in general. And so that will set a bit of a tone and tenor of how we're thinking about a site. But then also specifically for Turkey, there are already so many social trails that are out there. What I would argue is that natural landscape that's already there, and while it's beautiful and there's a lot of great things going on, there's so much interruption with all of those little trails, trying to shut some of that down so that a better trail experience, and I use that like in quotation marks, because what I say is better is not opinion based. It's more like better from a sustainability standpoint, better from a safety standpoint, but not dumbed down so much that it doesn't have its own flavor and flair. People will want to be on those trails, and I think it will cut down on that. And from a natural standpoint, Turkey has so much beauty going on anyway. I don't think there's anything we can do to destroy that. Trails are only going to enhance that and enable access for, more people to learn a mountain bike, enjoy mountain biking. We joke internally to say Turkey is currently the place you would take somebody to mountain bike for the first time, the only time, and they would stop just because there's just so much rough stuff. And I love a lot of those things, but it's just not a sustainable thing for people to learn on.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's funny you say that, because the first time I took my girlfriend out riding, it was to Turkey, and she said, I never want to ride a mountain bike again. Exactly. And so we went to Claremore, and, that's definitely something that Turkey has kind of lacked in the past, is the accessibility for new mountain bikers. Mm. So what are some natural benefits that Turkey Mountain brings to the plan?
So just from a natural landscape standpoint, you mean? Well, for one, the fact that it is so close to the dense population of Tulsa is just incredible. It's flanked by the river on the east, and the in the scale of the property, somewhere between 300 to 400 acres, I believe, and also the elevation. So it has all of that stuff going for it. It has several different places within the site that are standing water. So there's some cool stuff to go see. There's a lot of rock formations on site. The natural bench of the eastern slopes of that hill are pretty spectacular because you can separate different trails out into three trails that are already there, actually. And we're our design is changing that slightly, but not much, because of what was already there just needs to be enhanced, not really changed significantly. And this just the scope of what is out there is pretty incredible, because you have the steep slopes to the east, like I already mentioned, but as it goes back over to the west, the Pepsi Lake area, and then up above that, it's like, I would call it like a little mini rock city. It's just gorgeous. And there's just these little pockets throughout that I honestly think it's safe to say it's like almost like little micro ecosystems kind of throughout the property that are different enough that I feel like you can go experience turkey in a different way no matter where you go. And then even further south, the bomb shelter area doesn't even feel like it's on the same property. It's pretty interesting. So that's, I would say it's thumbs up all around. The first time I've been to Turkey, which was, you know, forever ago when I was learning to mountain bike, same experience. It's just grand scale, beautiful, and it's in town, which how many cities can say they have that? Not many.
Absolutely. So you mentioned a lot of things that are currently on the mountain and the trails that are already out there. But before, you mentioned that you look for great things that haven't been utilized yet. Have you found anything out at Turkey Mountain that you would call a great thing that you're planning to utilize?
I would definitely say that the rocks on the southern slopes are begging to be used. There's some plenty of things out there that could be extremely advanced riding, or honestly, even if there's a multi-use area where we could enable like just a little bit of bouldering and for kids to be able to climb around on the rocks. Like, I think there's a lot of opportunity there. I honestly think the southernmost area, I think they call some of those trails the bomb shelter. That area is, it's utilized with trail, but I think some new realignments will really reinvigorate that area. And I think it'll be one of those spots that tons of people ride. So beyond that, I hate to dwell on the rocks, but the natural stone that's out on site is pretty spectacular. So that up close to the YMCA property, which is in the northwest, will be, if we can gain access to some of those private pieces of property, there's a couple of strips that are technically private that we'll have to get some easements for, but that little rock city zone would be pretty incredible that could be utilized. And that's, from what I understand, over close to Pepsi Lake is an area that's utilized a lot of runners, a lot of riders like that area. So that I feel like would be a slam dunk to go ahead and connect that, be able to use some of that already existing natural beauty that I know people know it's there, but it's, the trails aren't going through it in a way that would just be spectacular. It'd be really fun.
I know that there is some hesitation about the natural feel of the mountain and not wanting to change that. But I feel like most people agree that sustainability is a huge issue up there. You can go 2 months apart and it can feel like you're riding on a different trail. Can you talk a little bit about why sustainability is so important to think about in trail building? And how much do you actually think about sustainability, you know, in relation to rideability or walkability whenever you're building a new trail?
Yep. So, you know, it's funny, sustainability ends up being a bit of a buzzword, but that is something that we do day in and day out. And water is one of the things that we fight more than anything. Like in some ways we're in the water business because we are trying to build a trail that is fun to use, that maintains certain grades, but also gets rid of the water in an effective way where it's not just draining onto something else and becoming a problem for somebody else, but is also allowing for the trail to withstand that, whether it's sheet flow, which is just like a lot of water going across the surface, or we're directing it to a drain where it could be a culvert, could be what we call a grade reversal where the water can go across in a very specific strategic point. Though all of those things are built in such a way that we can enhance the user experience as we go, especially with a bike optimized trail. And so let me explain that a little bit. So a bike optimized trail compared to just a standard hiking trail, might just be a very simple tread, flat, might undulate a little bit, but not much. A bike trail will undulate a little bit more with small berms, a little bit of a roller coaster feel. And a lot of those are for momentum generation and for fun, of course. But then a lot of that is for water control. So we're building little mini swales, we're moving water around, and ultimately what we're doing is making that in such a way that when we do get a massive downpour, that the trail's not destroyed. The water goes where we want it to go. There might be a spot here or there where we do what we call have to nick a drain because the debris gets in the way, but in general, that's what we're doing is we're diverting water everywhere we go.
So you can actually take some of the sustainability measures and kind of incorporate that into the actual fun of it as well.
Absolutely.
That's interesting. Can you give us a little bit of a preview of some of the unique features you're going to bring to Turkey Mountain? You've mentioned some of the opportunities that are there. What's something you're really excited to build out there?
Good question. So I think all of Area 1, which is what we're under currently contract to build, that is all... For the listener, it's pretty much everything from the southern parking lot to the north, with the exception of all that southern super sloped area. That is a different area that is going to be bid out. So that's all downhill trail, or that will be downhill trail. So that'll be exciting. But what I'll say is that whole cross-country experience will be 10 to 13 miles of trail somewhere in that vicinity, at least 10 for sure. So that'll be great just because it'll update that area. And it'll be fun. Whether you're a runner, a hiker, a rider, you can go out there and get lost and have a blast. And I say lost jokingly. We'll also be signage. But from a feature standpoint or from a trail type standpoint, the other areas that are going to go to bed, that's going to be something that Tulsa does not have. And that having gravity experience trail with flyovers, because there's going to be a trail that is planned to cut through underneath the downhill trail. So there'll be three different flyovers. And I think that will be generate a really interesting experience for both the person on the lower trail as well as the people on the downhill trails, because flyovers can be anything from just a simple bridge to an actual feature where you can launch off of it if you want to. And depending on the rating of the trail will depend on the consequence of that. And the only other place that I'll bring up that is exciting, and it's an area that a lot of people will know if they know Turkey, in the power line right away on the same southern slope of that mountain, there's a lot of rocks that are graffitied up. There's some opportunity in there for a chute that we're talking about generating some or building some technical trail through there. So it could be a drop, it could be a ride through the chute. There's a lot of different options. We're still fleshing out those details, but I think that actually could turn into a pretty iconic spot. Definitely photographed just because of its ease of access. You can see it from the greenway, all of that.
And you mentioned in that the grading trails, the difficulty rating.
Yes.
Can you talk a little bit about how you plan to balance, say, easy trails versus hard trails, green trails versus black trails? How do you plan to balance that in the at least in this first phase?
Yeah, good question. So in a general sense, we typically will look at a whole trail system and think about percentages, like how much entry-level trail versus intermediate versus expert trail do you want, or advanced trail. I would say for Turkey specifically, it leans more beginner plus to intermediate just because of the terrain. Plenty of opportunity for advanced trail. I think the majority of what we're under contract to build will end up being green/blue trails. So beginner to intermediate trail for most of the cross-country experience. All of that will probably have little areas that could be spicy. So you could add rock rolls. You could add, you know, different rock causeways, stuff like that. Because I know we're going to run into tons of rock out there. So there's that plenty of opportunity for that. So what we call it are just alternate lines. So it'll be the same trail, but then there will be alternate line features, or there might be even like a section that's like, hey, this is just too cool of an area not to take advantage of it. Let's split off here and then let it rejoin, you know, a couple hundred yards later or something like that. So there will definitely be stuff like that. The area that is going to be turned into gravity trails or downhill trails, those will be rated. And for anyone who doesn't know, mountain bike trails are rated from a green, blue, black, double black, just like ski trails. So for alpine skiing. So a green trail, a blue trail, and a black trail are planned on those southern slopes. And then over in the Bombsiller area, that is, I think, a green and a blue trail. So beginner and intermediate are planned over there. So so there's opportunity for lots of progression. That's kind of the whole plan.
Well, it sounds like we're going to get to see some new trails out there within the next year, and that's be able to ride it in the next year, and that's really, really exciting.
Yeah, so, definitely. You know. We're excited as well, too. We're so thankful to be part of it. I mean, it's great. We love Tulsa. We have a great relationship with a lot of people over here, and you know, seeing Turkey Mountain being on the table to be revitalized is awesome. It's a gift.
Well, it probably helps that you guys are only a couple hours away, too, huh?
We love it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love it. I have an excuse to come over here.
Yeah. Well, Joel, thanks for talking with us today, and we look forward to seeing your work.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Thanks again to Joel and everyone over at Progressive Trail Designs for talking with the community about these upcoming changes at Turkey. Thanks again to our sponsors, Fat Tire Bike Shop and Fleet Feet Tulsa, and Grasshopper, who provided our theme music. Be sure to subscribe on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts. We'll see you next time on Urban Wilderness. Now go get lost at Turkey Mountain.